The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 19, 1987 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 1, Text 238 through 243.
Kripa tamaham bande Sri Gurum dinacharinam yat kripa tamaham bande paramananda madhavam Sri Chaitanyasvam Balabhadra Bhattacharya Rohimatra Sange Charikanda Parte Kashi Aila Moharange Balabhadra Bhattacharya Rohimatra Sange Charikanda Parte Kashi Aila Moharange. Translation. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri for Vrindavan, only Balabhadra Bhattacharya was with him. Thus he traveled on the path to Jarikanda and arrived in Banaras with great delight.
Dinchar kashi te rohi gela Vrindavan Matura dekhiya dekhi dadasa kanan.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Banaras only 4 days and then left for Vrindavan. After seeing the town of Mathura, he visited the 12 forests. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those who visit the Vrindavan area today also generally visit 12 places known as the 12 forests. They start at Mathura, where there is Kamyavona. From there they go to Talavona, Tamalvona, Madhubona, Kusumbona, Bandira Bona, Bilva Bona, Badra Bona, Kardira Bona, Loha Bona, Kamura Bona, and Gokula Mahabona. These are the 12 for Bonas, Dados Bona, or Dados Kanon. So we have here Kamya 1, Talabon 2, Tamalbon 3, Madhubon 4, Kusum Bone 5, Bandir Bone 6, Dilwa Bone 7, Badra Bone 8, Kadir Bone 9, Loha Bone 10, Kumud Bone 11, and Gokul Mahabon 12. These are the 12 forests, the Kusum Sarovar, different forests where Krishna had his pastimes. Each forest is connected with different pastimes of the Lord. Like the Talabon is where the tal fruits, special, the KC demon was there? The Dinuka. And tal fruit is available in India, in Bengal also. And when it's ripened, it has a very nice scent. And during one time of the year, take the ripened tal fruit. And they make, they extract the juice from it, which is very aromatic, highly scented, kind of like a custard color, yellow color. And they mix that with some flour, and they make a type of pakora, known as talgura. And I said, this was a very favorite of Lord Krishna. So especially like on Janmashtami days and other days, they'll offer this talbura, special type of, like you have dwaibara, it's a talbura. That means a special type of fry with the tal mixed with it. Very, it's sweet, it's a sweet pakora. Quite nice. then when the tall fruit is green, then they split it inside, and inside there's a seed of the tall fruit known as asas in Bengali. And the young boys, they always, and girls, they always eat that. It's like a type of jello. And inside it is a jello, but like a firm jello, and inside there's a little liquid part. So whenever you bite into it, it always squirts out and gets over your chin. There's one, they also make sandesh in the shape of the tall fruit, unripe. In this one place called Chandan Nagar, we were doing a big preaching there, and someone gave us this tall fruit, sandesh. And they said, this is our specialty, so you please bite into it. So we offered it to Krishna, then when we brought in, you know, bit into it, then although the sandesh is hard, somehow they put the juice inside. You bite in, the juice comes down. And they all laugh. This is the specialty. It's very hard to make a hard sandesh with liquid inside. So, all of these forests that Krishna, of course, they're remembered by devotees all over India. Therefore, we have these different, and in the different songs, like we say, Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala, even there it also mentions talboras, tal fruit pakoras. So this is very, each one of these forests has its own pastimes. Similarly, in Navadvip, there are 9 islands. In Vrindavan, there are 12 bonas. Talabona, Tamalbona, Madhubona, Kusubona, Bandirabona, Birbabona, Badrabona, Kadirabona, Lohabona, Kumurabona, and Gokula Mahabona. And in Mayapur you have the Deepas, islands. You have Simantu Deepa, Godram Deepa, Madhu Deepa, Kola Deepa, Ritu Deepa, Janu Deepa, Marudam Deepa, Ruddu Deepa, Andha Deepa. And each of those 9 islands also has different pastimes and different things which happen. And the 12 forests of Vrindavan also are present in Mayapur, Navadvip, on the spiritual platform. So, Krishna himself, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, he is going and visiting all the holy places of Vrindavan, one by one. Lila stora deki preme hoila astir, balabhadra khoilo tare machurai bahir. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited all 12 places of Sri Krishna's pastimes, he became very agitated because of ecstasy. Balabhadracharya somehow or other got him out of Mathura. Ganga tira pote loya prayage yaila sirupasi prabhuke tatai momilila. After leaving Mathura, the Lord began to walk along a path on the bank of the Ganges. And finally he reached the holy place named Prayag, Allahabad today it's known as. It was there that Srila Rupa Goswami came and met the Lord. Dandavata kori rupa bhumite porila paramanande prabhu alingana dila. At Prayag, Rupa Goswami fell down on the ground to offer obeisances to the Lord, and the Lord embraced him with great delight. Si rupe shika korai pataila vrindavan apone korila varanasi agaman. After instructing Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayag at the Dasasamedha Ghat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered him to go to Vrindavan. The Lord then returned to Varanasi. So this is the Madhya Lila chapter 1, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita 243. So this is chapter 1 of the Madhya Lila is giving a synopsis of the latter part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Then after this, this will be unfolding one after another in greater detail. Our great spiritual master, Krishnadas Kaviraj Thakur, he was very old when he was writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was practically blind. He's very old. He was always afraid that any moment he might pass away. So he wanted to at least give the synopsis, and then as long as he lives, he'll try to complete it. See, when Prabhupada came at a very elderly age to the West, he was also preoccupied. He had a heart attack in the ship coming over, as well as off and on, health was not so good always. So he was always telling the followers that you have to take up responsibility. I'm elderly, advanced in age, anytime I may go. So you have to take up responsibility, you have to see that the movement goes on spreading. This was Srila Prabhupada's preoccupation as well, that after his departure physically from the world, that the movement would continue in solid footing. Of course, that's the responsibility. Prabhupada had the whole responsibility of the previous acharyas, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on his shoulders, because no one else of his godbrothers had remained concerned about fulfilling those instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta to spread the movement all over the world. So the full responsibility was on his shoulders. In that sense, we're fortunate enough that in ISKCON there are so many disciples, grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So we're able to work cooperatively together for furthering his message. Of course, each disciple or grand disciple takes the responsibility singularly, that it's my duty to serve Srila Prabhupada myself, but even though I'm not able to do it alone, and because he'll be more pleased if I do it cooperatively with the other devotees, so therefore we're doing like that. Krishna is more pleased when one does cooperatively. Nonetheless, the responsibility comes to each and every person. Just like in the Mahabharata, when some kings were imprisoned by the Kurus, and every day they were given the food for one person less, for just enough to feed one person. So what happened was that every day one person would die. So that all the imprisoned kings made the plan that to get vengeance, we'll give all the food to Sakuni, and it's his duty to destroy the Kuru dynasty. So they all give all the food to the one person, so that at least one person would be left, and he'll finish off the Kurus by his... And then his father said, when I die, you save my bones, and use those bones and make dice. And with those dice, they'll do whatever you want. Those dice will defeat the Kurus. So, of course, that was for a kind of a negative purpose. But they want at least, if there's one person left from our descendants, he'll be able to finish off the Kurus. This is a positive thing. Of course, each disciple, they're prepared that, even if there's no one else, if there was a world war or something, and there's only one person, still you have to try to spread the Krishna conscious movement. Of course, not that whimsically one would individually. Obviously, we can do less individually than one can do jointly. And it's Prabhupada's instruction to cooperate with one another. So we cannot say we're trying to carry out Prabhupada's instruction and go directly against it. However, singularly and jointly, we're all responsible to carry out that great instruction, to further the message that Prabhupada has given us. Just that Dhruva Maharaj was very determined to find Narayana. In spite of so many obstacles, he was not giving up his determination to find Narayana, to find the Supreme Lord. He could not be distracted. Similarly, we have our determination to Dhruva, Dhruva determination to propagate the great message that has been handed down to the disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya through the six Goswamis and the great Acharyas, Bhakti, through Bhakti Siddhanta, through Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, Abhoycharan Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. That's our determination. You see, because of the disciplic succession system, that to keep the message intact, the disciple receives instruction from his guru, and he hands it in turn to his disciple and goes on like this. Sometimes people wonder, why is it that in the Krishna consciousness, we don't go and listen to this group and that group, or we don't associate with a different Gaudiya Math in different groups and listen to all their teachings? Because unless we're sure that there's a group which is totally receptive to Srila Prabhupada's message, then if we simply, we may respect everyone, but if we take those instructions, then we may dilute or change the instructions we receive from Srila Prabhupada. At least one should thoroughly study all of Srila Prabhupada's books several times before going on to other studies. You see, of course, people are always eager to learn something new. But we find that even if you read Prabhupada's books many times, there's always something new that you realize while reading. Then after a thorough study, if it's necessary, then one might get permission to go on to, and not to go on, but to say, translate some other book or do use other reference material, although it's not at all necessary to achieve full Krishna consciousness. So it's important that just as these previous acharyas or the Krishnadas Kaviyas took it so seriously to see that the message of Lord Chaitanya reached the fallen souls, similarly we have to see that this Krishna conscious movement is preserved in its proper form to give the message of Srila Prabhupada perpetually to the conditioned soul. So when Lord Chaitanya saw Rupa Goswami, he embraced him with great delight. You see, Rupa Goswami paid his obeisances to the Lord, but the Lord, he embraced him. A disciple always pays the obeisances whenever they see the spiritual master. But sometimes if the spiritual master is very happy to see the disciple, or if at his own sweet will, if he wants, he can even embrace a disciple or a godbrother. You see, that's a Vaishnava practice. You see, although normally, it's a rare thing to get embraced by Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya was so happy to see Rupa Goswami for the first time coming out from his entanglement, material entanglement, that he just embraced him. It's a special mercy for Rupa Goswami. Then at his Das Asu made God, actually Prabhupada went there, inaugurated something there. I think there's a plaque there with Prabhupada's name on for some purpose. He was there. In 1971 there was some function, I forget now. Maybe it's in the Leelamrita. There was some function at the Kumbh Mela at the Das Asu made God. And Prabhupada was the chief guest or something for that function. There are two Das Asu made gods. There's one in Prayag and there's one in Benares. In the past someone performed 10 Asu made yagyas there. That's why it'd be known as Das Asu made God. So it's a very sacred bathing place. That was the place where for 10 days Lord Chaitanya taught Rupa Goswami everything in a nutshell about the science of devotional service. Kasi te prabhu ke aise asi milila sanatan dui mas rohita re koraila sikan. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Varanasi, Sanatan Goswami met him there. The two remained there for 2 months and instructed Sanatan Goswami perfectly. Mathura pataila tare diya bhakti va sannasi re kripa kori gela nilacha. After fully instructing Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to Mathura with empowered devotional service. In Benares, he also bestowed his mercy upon the Mayavadi sannyasis. He then returned to Nilachola, Jagannath Puri. Chai vatsarai che prabhu karila vilas, kabu iti uti kabu ketravas. The Lord traveled all over India for 6 years. He was sometimes here, and thus I have given a synopsis of the Madhya Lila, the middle pastimes of the Lord. O devotees, kindly hear the synopsis of the final pastimes of the Lord, known as Antya Lila. So, let's save Antya Lila for later. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, is the life of Lord Chaitanya up to the time when he took sannyas. After sannyas, for the 6 years that he was traveling all over India from Jagannath Puri, is known as Madhya Lila. And in the last 18 years when he settled in Jagannath Puri, he didn't go anywhere, is the Antya Lila. The Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Adi Lila, is his childhood pastimes up to the time when he took a Diksha from Ishwar Puri. The Madhya Khanda is from the time when he started the Sankirtan movement to the time when he took sannyas. And Antya Lila is after sannyas. Antya Lila is very short. He couldn't finish much. He was an earlier writer. He was the daughter, was the son of Narayani, who was the niece of Srivas Thakur. So for the early pastimes, he had, you know, everything from his mother, from the Srivas Thakur and everything. He was very well. But in the Antya Lila, Krishnadas Kaviraj was expert because he heard from Das Raghuna, who was the personal secretary of Sarup Damodar. He was assistant secretary of Lord Chaitanya. So he got all the notes from Sarup Damodar, and he in turn told everything to Krishnadas Kaviraj in Vrindavan. And this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was Grihastha devotee doing his devotional service in his home in a place, I think it's called Jari. I forget the name of it. It's about 75 kilometers north of Mayapur, 20 kilometers north of Katwa, where Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. I went there one time looking for that place. I found it. It's very far off the beaten track. No dirt road, only dirt roads. Some places, no road, you have to go over the field. But it's not so far from the river. Now we have river, we have a motorboat for the flood. After the flood, we can get to somebody's place. It's easier by river. The situation was, he was doing his devotional service with his family members there, but they were not giving so much support. But there was no big problem. But one day, Minikitan Ram Das was visiting his house, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. And he was such a great devotee that he would carry a flute of Krishna's, and whoever he touched with the flute, they'd immediately get ecstatic love for God. Immediately they'd just crack up in ecstasy. All the symptoms of ecstasy would come. Such an empowered devotee. But then Krishnadas Kaviraj's younger brother, older brother, I forget what his brother, I think younger. He somehow just criticized Lord Nityananda. And that hurt, offended Minikitan Ramdas so much, he just broke his flute and left that place. So Krishnadas Kaviraj felt very polluted. He felt that I had to hear offense to Lord Nityananda. Better I leave this place. At the same time, that night he dreamt of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda came there in his dream and Swami Balaram blessed him and told him, go to Vrindavan. So then after that, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he just left his family, brothers and relatives. He was really old at that time and he went off to Vrindavan. So sometimes some difficult situation occurs in order to distract us from, to this day rather, there's a temple in that birthplace of Krishnadas Kaviraj, a temple of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda from the time when he visited there. Now the people are realizing, of course, and they're having a lot of festivals and things there. So Krishnadas Kaviraj went to Vrindavan. It was in Vrindavan that after Lord Chaitanya disappeared, he met Rupas and Sanatan and Raghunath Das and other six Goswamis. And hearing from Rupa Goswami and Das Raghunath, both who were in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya, he wrote down the entire tale of Lord Chaitanya's. So like this in our life, there may be different tests that come. Sometimes we may have some situation where we get our, like a rug pulled out from under us, it seems. But actually, that may be Krishna's arrangement for us to engage in more devotional service. That if a devotee has a pure devotion to the Lord, his mind will be automatically flowing to Krishna. And there's no material impediment which can stop that mind. So we should be prepared that whatever happens in our life, whatever test, these are like tests to see our sincerity. Are we going to remain fixed up in the devotional service of Krishna, of the Lord? We should be prepared to pass all the tests. Any questions? Yeah.
I have two questions. Right off the bat, you said Raghunath Das was the secretary of Swami Balaram.
Yeah.
So you learned from him about Niyama Nova. Then you said something about he was related to Srinivas or Srinivas.
No, the writer of the Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Vrindavan
Das Thakur was related to Srinivas. Any other question? Yeah.
That Srivast is the Srivast of Pashtun.
Yep. Yes. Correct.
So maybe you could speak a little bit about, we have a householder living at home to being devotees and maybe aspiring to be Brahmins. That's where maybe you could speak a little bit about how to become qualified to be a Brahmin and how to get home away from the separate.
Well, Brahmanical life means life of simplicity and goodness, purity, cleanliness, and so on, austerity. In the Vedic time, the Varnashram was really strictly followed. At that time, a Brahmana would not even accept an employment, would always remain independent, either by doing Brahmanical work. Or sometime, if necessary, they might even come to the level of being a kshatriya, or might even do the work of a vaishya of business, but they wouldn't take any employment. But you know, now things have changed. And generally, people, they all have jobs. And jobs are employment, where you work for someone else. And you have to do what they say, to a certain degree. So that's itself not so conducive to the Brahminical situation. But of course, there are differences in different occupations. This is the way the society is set up now. It's hard to draw any kind of correlation. So because for the same job, like if someone was a teacher 1,000 years ago, they wouldn't get a salary, but each of the students would come and offer, according to their means, they would offer some dakshina to the teacher, and then with that he could easily maintain himself. So he'd be a Brahmana, he'd be a teacher, but now Everyone, you know, the teachers, they work for the government. Or they work for the institution. Just like that. And I don't think the students bring much dakshin for the teachers. Huh? They still do, they really do. Huh? Maybe here in Dixieland. It's not, they give an apple with razor blades in it. On Halloween. So, Prabhupada, he indicated that if one is a brahmana, and they're working outside or something like that, then they should be giving a strictly percentage of their income for Krishna's service. They should be very strict in their chanting and philosophical knowledge. They should be doing things as in a brahminical way. So that, because, for, of course that may vary. As I said, sometimes the brahmana would take a role up as a vaishya or as a kshatriya. But when they do that, they would also do everything in a, more than being a brahmana, we're brahmana vaishnavas, we do everything as a devotional service. So in this regard, if someone's doing as a devotional service, even if it's an employment or something, if they use the fruits of that, or an approved percentage, for Krishna's service, then it becomes purified. Of course, some are there that working outside, practically, they give almost everything just for the purpose of devotional service. It's not your direct service. So there are basically the philosophical considerations, sadhana considerations, then the practical economic considerations of how they're using their energy in Krishna's service. Is one actually remaining? The point is that devotional service is known as apratihata, nirbandha. Shouldn't have any bun, any stopping, any breaking. Apratihata, no. Not that we do devotional service a few hours a day, then we do no devotional service, or we do maya some other time. So whatever we do, we try to, that should be connected to Krishna in some form or another, some approved way. You see, grihasthas have a license to have sex life, but that's to be done in an approved manner. They have license for economic independence. But that is to be dovetailed also in Krishna's service. Wherever the license given, then with it comes the responsibility to maintain the constant connection with Krishna. And this way that one can remain on the transcendental platform, even while working, even while living outside. So basically, candidates for the brahminical initiation should be more conscious about all these things and see that their situation is actually remaining fixed in the transcendental platform, even though they're living somewhat separate from the community of devotees or having a separate residence. Hare Krishna. Any other question?
Sometimes I've heard that grihasthas do these to support the temple and host the principal community culture, but what about those couples that are actually maybe living in the temple, maybe preaching and not giving in like monetary support, but it may seem like they're actually taking money from the temple and is that?
If a grihastha, the point is that if a grihastha, say that someone's living outside and they're doing a business, they're acting as a vaishya for Krishna. So as a businessman, they may need a car, you know, they have to have a certain, if you do business, you have to appear established in America, so you have to appear like it's different in India. Because of the high income tax, the bigger the man is, the more poor he tries to appear. But since here the IRS is so expert anyway, and there's no chance of very easily avoiding them, so it works the other way. You have to show yourself to be bigger than you are in order to get more faith in your customers. And then you make the profit, and your tax is not so high anyway, you gotta pay it. So it's differently. There you find some multi-millionaire sitting in a second class train with old grip shirt, you know. In his bag he's got 20 lakhs of rupees or something. No one suspects you. We're here as soon as the guy gets 10,000, he immediately buys a big car, right? Huh? On credit. No, yeah, puts a down payment on. That is his payment. So, if a person is living separate and not doing direct devotional service, you know, then they may have to, according to their particular situation, they may have to live in a certain whatever, but it's their responsibility to contribute and support the temple. Otherwise, how are they dovetailing the material work they're doing? Then it just becomes, what's the difference between that and karma? By giving to Krishna, it becomes purified. Where if one is living in the temple, then means that as a brahminical grihastha, then he should live in a simple way. Just like, he should live in a, you know, accept the simple living, high thinking, you know, doesn't, yeah, you know, if everybody in the temple drove around with BMWs, you know, their donors would say, you know, what's, you know, where are you people at? Right? But, you know, so that's what they did actually. They had one car in Italy, which was previously used by the president, and they turned it in and got 5 economy cars in the one. And that wasn't the most expensive car, that was just, you know. So, that way actually the people appreciated it more and gave more facility also for the preacher. So, if a grihasa lives in a center, of course, we found that in some temples, even though they live in the facility, they try to do the some little sankirtan or something, so that any extra expenses above their prasadam and stay is covered by their own sankirtan effort or something. Or sometimes they're granted some allowance, and that's not possible. But certainly that allowance, or even, it's a bit limiting in a sense of, you know, if you're living outside, maybe there's more scope for accumulation or something, but then that's more scope for maya. If you're living in the community, then it's a little more austere, little, not so opulent, say, but then it's more conducive for one's personal Krishna consciousness. That depends on how one's able to adapt to the different situations. In America, it seems that the grihasas, even when they live in the center, if they are able to, without compromising their own service, generate some income through their preaching, that that's whenever possible. That's then that way they can also feel that they're. But it's up to the temple council. They may decide that we need this person, it's very valuable, and to do this service. Because the one person doing puja, so that frees 4 or 5 other Brahmins for preaching. So that's up to the temple council to decide when a person can be subsidized, or when they should themselves go out for 1 or 2 days in a week, at least cover their basic expenses. But somehow through our service, we should try to pull our own weight, or even if we can do more, better. You know, usually in farms, there's not so much pressure because there's no, living costs are less on a farm compared to living in the city. So usually if there's people who are devotees who are not very productive and they have, you know, need for more facilities. I mean, not productive in economic sense. I mean, every devotee might be productive in another sense. But then a lot of time they'll find it more peaceful to be on a farm, where they can do service and it won't be that much of an overhead. But whether it's a devotee that's, say, you know, good at preaching and active, and or they're doing some valuable service, then it's, and that can be used in the city center, then they find that, and they don't mind living in the city. I know that in New Orleans, Rikudar had a similar system like this, where he'd have the devotees basically, the vihasas would, if they have a separate apartment, they would generate that, they, by they're doing sankirtan or something, somehow they'd pay the rent. So that way, nobody could say the temple is maintaining. And as far as prasadam, everyone can get prasadam, whether you're grihastha or brahmacharya, if you're serving Krishna, you can get prasadam. And if you stay in the temple and live in that, you know, there's not big apartments in the temple at this present time. It's just small quarters. Nobody minds for that. No, but if someone feels they need more, you know, space, 2 or 3 bedroom apartment or something like that, at the present time it's not feasible to create that type of facility for each devotee in the, of the present buildings we have, then the kind of prototype they did there seemed like a effective way of doing it, where the grihastha was responsible to, in addition to his normal quota, to collect his own, or that was incorporated in his overall quota, collecting his rent. So then that way nobody could say, well, you're living in an apartment, because, well, he generated that income. Plus, that again, it's up to each temple council to work out defined points. The Prabhupada said that grihasthas could live in a community, but when they do so, they should, they should be serving the communities, serving the deities, in some direct way. Hare Krishna. Dwadasi, breakfast, Vijay. Kadasi, fasting. Completion, Kijai.